You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Briefly, can you share how this video story of Auntie Beryl and Auntie Ali came about?
Well, I've been friends with them for a very long time, and I thought their life stories ought to be shared with a wider audience, because I'm always thinking that many people who are not Aboriginal, they don't have a clue. They just go about their own way and don't understand the history. I mean, you know, when you think about it, we all benefited from being here. And so I felt that this is going to be a very good medium for deepening and broadening our awareness of Australian history. I'm not saying Aboriginal history, because this is all our history. And I consider myself a bridge builder. So, you know, we always, from our part, focusing on multiculturalism. But even they are multicultural, because they talk about Aboriginal nations with other languages. Over in Arnhem Land, I was friends with them as well many years ago, and they said, we speak five languages. We don't give them credit for that, you know? And I think that if we know their story, then we are proud to be part of it, because they're so generous people and they know the land so well.
You sort of partly answered my second question. As the main interviewee, what do you think is the relevance of sharing Auntie Beryl and Auntie Ali and their family's story to all Australians?
Yes, well, because they have been friends with me, Auntie Beryl, for example, had been invited by the Consul General to talk about her culture also, and to give an acknowledgement of country. This is my friend, Auntie Beryl. And so I was just saying, Auntie Beryl, that you've been invited to a lot of Philippine functions. The last one was Tuloy Pukayo, which is a fashion show that was held there in near...
Darlinghurst,
that's right. And come September, there is an international delegation from the Philippines. Dave Maceda is the head of teachers and students, and they've invited me, and I mentioned Auntie Beryl and Auntie Ali's stories, and they said, oh, could you invite them too? Because when they were here last year, another group of teachers and students, they wanted to learn about, yes, institutions and how governance runs here, including the Aboriginal First Nations people. So what better than straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, would they to receive that kind of orientation? Because I got the feeling when I was talking at the State Library, when I asked me, they were rather confused, because what they were getting in terms of orientation from the public service, all good, nothing.
Not the reality.
It's not the reality. So when I spoke, they thought, gee, this is different from what we've heard so far. So I could see that they had wrinkles on their foreheads and thinking, you know, why is this story different? So I'm thinking, when they ask me again, I'll actually invite my Aboriginal elder friends. It will come straight from them. And they could also see the films we've just shown.
About 3 years ago, you had your book, Reimagining the Voices of Australia. Yes. Is this a sequel of that one? This also sort of tells about the stories of Aboriginal Australians, isn't it?
Yes, this particular video, videos that you have seen, we are doing a book, and I'm writing it. So hopefully I'll finish it by the end of the year. So this will be the print version of the book. So a little bit more detail. Some of it will be similar, but then, you know, what I want to do is join the dots. See, they tell their story and people can't understand. They think that's just them. That's just an Aboriginal, you know, special case, but it's not. I joined the dots. What I mean by that is I look at how the government, the policy of the government at the time, set the background, that set the limits for their ability to move up or ahead, further their education, for example. As you saw in the video, you know, they had to actually come up with strategies. They had to have resilience and determination and break the obstacles that confront them.
In one way, the videos and those stories have sort of tackled this, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think I have a friend who is with FACTS, and that organization, they deal with Aboriginal people even today, clients, but some of their workers apparently have not met Aboriginal people. And so it's rather theoretical. They kind of assume the same stereotypes that average readers, just, you know, like readers from the mainstream media, they don't know. They just think Aborigines are drunks and welfare, all the negative things. But, you know, as Lola Forrester from Koori Radio had said, they had 100 lawyers who graduated from University of New South Wales, but that is not given any focus.
In celebration of NAIDOC Week, what does this year's theme, Voice, Truth, Treaty, means to you?
The theme for NAIDOC Week in 2019 is Voice, Truth, Treaty. And our group, the Women's Reconciliation Network, we support the people's movement. If Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people do not have a voice, how could we even think that there is a future for an agreement without a struggle, which is the word from Arnhem Land is makarata, agreement, treaty. So first of all, we need to get to know one another and the plight of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, who are only 3.3% of the Australian population when they were, at the time of invasion in 1788, 100%. According to the Bureau of Statistics, it's 770,000. And then in 1900, it was reduced to 83%. In other words, Aboriginal population got decimated. But we owe them because they're so hospitable. They're so generous. It's the land on which we stand, from which we have benefited, that has invited us. In their thinking, the land, Mother Earth, is the land on which we all can be united. So we are all bound by the stories of this land. And it's not just Aboriginal people's stories, it's all the newcomers, the new settlers' stories too, hand in hand. That's what I think is the underlying theme of NAIDOC Week, is giving Aboriginal people a voice, truth-telling, and then we can think about the way in which we can have an agreement with them in a way where they will be respected, honored, and then we can walk hand in hand together in harmony.
Inyong komunidad, inyong usapan sa SBS Filipino.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.